at JM in the AM. Well, yesterday was quite a day, October the 7th, and obviously world Jewry, and especially our brothers and sisters in Israel, spent a lot of time thinking about the day and spent a lot of time observing to whatever degree people felt comfortable observing the Yahrzeit, quote-unquote. Obviously, it's a secular calendar Yahrzeit, but you get the point. And there were a lot of very appropriate ceremonies and many appropriate gestures by government officials and by Jewish leaders, et cetera, et cetera. And then I sit down, we had our own three-hour presentation yesterday. I don't know how many times we played a different Achenu yesterday morning and obviously spoke with Reuven Ziegler, who was telling us about the war and having four sons in the army and what the Israeli and Jewish people have had to endure over the last year. But at about 5-something yesterday afternoon, I sat down to watch some of the newscasts that were being broadcast. And as I said earlier in the show, it's amazing. It's amazing how many people in New York and other major cities, and I'm sure in plenty of places around the world, loved sympathizing and identifying with the terrorists, with the rapists, with those who burned Jews alive, with those who terrorized other human beings, in this case, Jews, on October the 7th. And they treated the anniversary as if it was a day of celebration. Just amazing. And some of them just, quote-unquote, regular Americans taking to the streets and showing their true colors. Made some of us think, you know, what things would have been like a year after 9/11, if a rally or a demonstration like that would have taken place somewhere in the United States, siding with bin Laden and the enemy. Well, the subject of anti-Semitism and what people really do think of us has been one that has been studied quite a big deal, or quite a great deal of time has been spent on the subject. And there's some great books about it, by the way. Rabbi Raphael Shore, who is with us live from Israel, has written a brand new book, and it is a great one. It is entitled, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? Learning to Love the Lessons of Jew Hatred. And he has a lot of topics in this book that many of us are familiar with. Speaks a lot about October 7th, which I think has, and he includes a whole bunch of interesting observations about the last year. And of course, plenty of things from history as well. And we have the privilege of having him with us live via telephone. Rabbi Raphael Shore, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Nachman. Really a pleasure to be here.
You know what I have to surmise? That you must be among the people who is not shocked at the demonstrations and celebrations that were taking place yesterday in New York and other major cities around the world.
You have that right. You have that right. I'm also sadly not amongst the people who were shocked at October 7th.
Right.
And in fact, it was the radical Islamist movement that really got my film career. I'm primarily a filmmaker. I've produced 18 documentary films, including one you might have heard of, Obsession, Radicalism's War Against the West.
Right.
But this is my first book that I've written, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? But for some reason, one of the things I've done well is listen to the other side and listen to what they're saying. And that's why I never fell for the Oslo peace process from the very beginning, and I've done many films to show what are the anti-Semites, the Jew haters, thinking? What is their philosophy? And in this book, I went into Hitler's ideology and also how the radical Islamists of today, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, are all the inheritors. They've picked up the baton from the Nazis and are just carrying it on. The 2,000, 3,000 year fight has continued with these people. So no, I was not surprised.
And by the way, I don't even know if one needs to go. I think it's also one of the problems often, and you may agree with this, that many people, you know, go straight to Hitler and the Nazis. I don't think anyone needs to go to that extreme. I think there's such a common denominator, one of the things that you discuss in the October 7th section of your book, there's such a common denominator among so many people around the world that it's not even it's not even the fact that one might want to emulate, you know, a murderer or extremist or, you know, a rabble rouser like Hitler. It just might be that there's such a deep-seated anti-Semitism among so many that when the appropriate time comes, it rears its ugly head.
100%. And what I discuss in the book is kind of the underlying ideology behind it all. What is driving people deep down? And I think that you're right. I think that most people today, even when they're anti-Semites, nobody admits that they're anti-Semites. Nobody hates Jews.
And they certainly wouldn't consider behaving like one until now. We see what happened yesterday. People are so much more comfortable with it.
Yes, and yet the double standards prove that they are anti-Semites, and it's remarkable to see. So it's not just ignorance, because, you know, the example that I give is that there's hardly a human being who is not concerned about the 40,000 Palestinians who have been killed in this war, and they might be demonstrating on college campuses at the incredible amount of civilian deaths. But none of these people are protesting at the number of Ukrainians killed in the Russia war or the Afghanis who were killed. And they don't care and they don't know the number. But everybody knows this number and everybody's concerned. How do you explain the double standard that's going on? And there's so many cases. And the only explanation for the difference is that Jews are involved. And it exposes the underlying Jew hatred in the movement that's going on against Israel today.
And of course, the catch 22 is that no matter what side a Jew is on, politically, religiously, no matter how they identify in terms of their tradition, heritage, and political leanings, they're going to find anti-Semitism in every one of those arenas. I don't want to say it's laughable, but there is a bit of humor that no matter where a Jew is coming from, or no matter what their background might be, they're going to find anti-Semitism in that crowd. And I think that might be one of the most revealing things about what's happened over the last year. You know, Raphael Shore's with us. There've been a lot of good books about anti-Semitism. I mean, I've read many of them, and I bet you if I name them, you've also read them. But yours has, in addition to the whole October 7th thing, I think yours has a perspective on this era that the others, because they were not written today, simply don't have. Don't you feel that there's a different atmosphere in 2024 than there ever was, even though anti-Semitism is a centuries-old problem?
Yes, 100%. I think that what's happening today, and the way I frame it, is that the Jewish people, you know, we've been saying never again for 60, 70 years. And we've kind of believed our own rhetoric saying never again. But sadly, we didn't realize that there are a lot of people who are still saying again. And that's the problem. We kind of put our heads in the ground and think if we say never again loud enough, the rest of the world will agree with us. But it's not the case. So we fooled ourselves. We, the Jewish people, fooled ourselves into thinking that it was over. But what I think is unique about the book, and what is unique about where people are at today, like you say, is that there is an openness to understand. There is a questioning, what is really going on? This is so bizarre. Why do they hate us so much? Why are they still trying to wipe us out? Why can't they let us alone? And I think there's an openness to hearing a deeper reason than the usual superficial, you know, scapegoat theories, or we have too much money, or it's about land. And that's really what I do. I go a lot deeper, and I show that really Hitler's ideology actually matches the Torah's explanation for anti-Semitism. So there's a lot of very interesting surprises in the book, and goes a lot deeper to the moral and spiritual explanation for Jew hatred.
Rabbi Raphael Shore is with us. The brand new book is entitled Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? Learning to Love the Lessons of Jew Hatred. Again, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? I'm assuming it's available on Amazon and all the usual places, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the places, yeah.
Now, it's funny because you say never again, and, you know, we believe the rhetoric, and we didn't realize that the enemy does not believe in never again. We also thought that the state of Israel would change things. Now that we have a state, now that we're among the nations, literally, with our own homeland, we'd be treated differently. We have an IDF, and therefore, you know, from a measure of strength, we'll be treated differently. And by the way, it's funny you opened this conversation by saying you were not surprised by October 7th, because one of the things I've been saying for the last year, and I don't know if you remember this or not, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, spoke last year. I'm not talking about a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking about last year, last September at the UN, before October 7th. And his attitude during that speech, which he normally used to talk about Iran and the threats that the Western world had, you know, stemming from the Middle East extremists, instead of using that forum for that purpose, he used the forum in that speech to basically say to people, we are so far ahead when it comes to AI and technology and startups and exits. You know, we're so far ahead. Hop on the train now. You see what's happened with the Abraham Accords. Hop on the train now. It's leaving the station. You better hop on now. We're going to pass you by as we drive, as we ride off into the distance. And I've said this on the air to many people since then, I felt so uncomfortable with that presentation. I said to myself, does he remember what neighborhood Israel's in? Does he remember how many countries have a target on Israel's back? And then sure enough, October 7th happens a couple of weeks later. I don't know if you remember any of that, but the state of Israel we thought would be an answer to all of this. And sure enough, on a larger national level, it's the same story.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you gave me the shivers just even hearing that again. Yeah, it's so scary when we're delusional. We can be self-delusional. So we thought, basically, in Germany, if we go back 100 years, the German Jews felt if we just drop our differences, we just become a little bit less Jewish and forget about Israel and become a religion, we will solve anti-Semitism. And then they found out Dreyfus Affair and everything else, that didn't work. And that was the birth of secular Zionism, right, which was the opposite. Secular Zionism said, if we drop the religion and just become a nation, and then it'll solve anti-Semitism. And, well, that didn't work. Israel becomes the lightning rod for anti-Semitism. So it's again, another example of the Jewish people missing the root cause. We fall for the excuses,
yep,
and not the root cause of anti-Semitism. It's not the settlements. It's not about the land. It's about the Jewish message. And this is the core idea of the book and the film, which is that it's the core message of who the Jewish people are. And it's not a coincidence that evil always comes after the Jews. We have a special mission in this world and a special role. And even when we forget it, the non-Jews don't forget it. And they will always come after us for the difference in the ideas that we're putting into the world. It happens to be that Adolf Hitler articulated incredibly well, and he had a very clear ideology, but it is really what's driving anti-Semitism and Jew hatred for 3,000 years. And if we can get clear on that, then A, we can understand what's behind anti-Semitism and stop being fooled by these mistaken ideas. But number two, we can gain strength and inspiration about being Jewish for understanding who we are and what our mission is.
You're originally from Ontario, right?
Yeah, London, Ontario, small town near Toronto.
You know what's doing up there, right? You know what's happening in Toronto and the demonstrations that take place up there.
I don't even recognize it. I was there last month visiting my mother. I don't even recognize the place. It's changed so much, and a lot of people are leaving.
Also, I think that the relationship that the Jewish world and Israel in particular has had with the United States, I don't know if you'd put it in the same category as, you know, we or us being fooled by it, but it is unique. It is unique to see the alliance. I know it's a little bit shaky now, but the alliance between the two countries, it's unique to know that at this point, you know, institutions like the NYPD and government-sponsored safety forces around the country, meaning police forces, you know, are still protecting synagogues, are still going out of their way, basically, when they're able to you know, demonstrate, you know, a care and concern for the Jewish community. Do you think that that's also fooling us, or do you think that, you know, it's just a calculated act by those in power?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, as someone who lives in Israel, I'm living in Jerusalem for 40 years. I have a son in the IDF right now. I can, first of all, express deep appreciation for the United States of America for supporting us, and that is, you know, full stop. Right. At the same time, there has been some question marks in the last year about the full commitment, and it's a little bit scary being dependent on America's goodwill. And I think the country is divided. So I think that half of America is incredibly supportive of Israel and the Jewish people and the Judeo-Christian values and what we all stand for. And when I say we all, I mean Israel, Jewish people, and America. But half of America is I don't believe so. And it's really interesting and scary to see where it might go.
Rabbi Raphael Shore is with us. The book is entitled Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? I have one more question I want to ask you about the book, but we do have to spend a minute about the film. And you mentioned, of course, that you've had the opportunity to produce many films over the years. This one is entitled Tragic Awakening, A New Look at the Oldest Hatred. Where does Jew hatred come from, and can it be harnessed into a force for good? You told me off the air this is going through a screening process now, meaning that it's available for screenings in religious institutions and other public places over the next few months before it becomes available to the public. What is this new look at the oldest hatred? What is unique about the movie Tragic Awakening?
Well, it's the same theme as we have in the book, but it's a fascinating film. It is narrated and featured by a woman who grew up in Syria and Lebanon named Rawan Osman. She's basically a Muslim Zionist, and she has gone on a journey to understand the nature of anti-Semitism and the nature of the Jewish people. And so we go with her and we explore it and come to this amazing understanding that it's not a coincidence that the Jewish people have this very unique mission and have been bringing in light and wonderful ideas of humanitarianism and ethical monotheism into the world. And this has brought her to come closer to the Jewish people. Wow. And she now wants to come and move here. And so it's an amazing story, as well as being enlightening. And we've gotten tremendous feedback as we're going around the United States. It launched at the Miami Jewish Film Festival. I've been doing screenings. So if anyone's interested in doing screenings with this film, they can go to tragicawakening.com and sign up. And we're happy to arrange screenings for churches and synagogues and wherever communities. And this is what we're doing a lot of the next few months. But I think people are just amazed because it's a new take and a refreshing take on anti-Semitism, because the way I characterize it is that the Jewish people have accepted a very superficial understanding of the nature of anti-Semitism, and it's time that we open up the conversation and go deeper and say, is there something more to this Jew hatred? And what does it mean to be Jewish today? And what can we learn? What is the relationship between anti-Semitism and being Jewish? And at the end of the day, this is a film about anti-Semitism, but it's actually incredibly inspiring, as well as the book. So I hope that your audience will be interested and they can come to us and we can help them do screenings.
Rabbi Raphael Shore recommends tragicawakening.com, bigbadjew.com, and of course his website, Raphael with a PH in the middle, raphaelshore.com, for information about both the film and the book. Finally, and I can't recommend the book highly enough. There's so much here. So many important things people need to see about our history and about the present time. But I'm so glad you included a section that's called Purim and the Lesson That Hitler Did Not Understand, and you subtitle that chapter, The Eternal Jew. If we're going to wrap up this conversation on a positive note, I think that is the note that we need to wrap up with, meaning with all of the history of anti-Semitism, and it has led, as we know, to the wanton murder of millions and millions of us over the centuries. Really bad stuff, real depths in our history. There is, however, an eternal lesson about the eternal Jew that must be remembered. Rabbi Shor, tell us about that.
Well, there was an incredible thing that in 1946, at the Nuremberg trials, Julius Streicher, one of the leading Nazis, he was one of the 10 Nazis that were hung in Nuremberg. And as he was being led to the gallows, Streicher yells out, Purim Fest, 1946. And Hitler talked about Purim as well. And they understood that in the end, although they once again, it was another story of non-Jews, and in this case also a Moloch trying to wipe out the Jewish people, instead of being successful, it was reverse engineered. The Jewish people come out on top. The enemies are destroyed. And just like it happened to Haman and the 10 sons were killed, in 1946, the 10 Nazis were hung at Nuremberg. And the Jewish people remain, and we continue to bring our message to the world. And so this is an incredible story. This is our story. This is the story of humanity, the struggle between the body and soul, between the spirit and the jungle. And this is what the message of the film and the book is, that we need to understand that this is who we are. This is the central core mission of the Jewish people. And if we can own it and understand what this battle is about and the nature of anti-Semitism, we can be so proud of being a part of this incredible, eternal people who have the right on our side. We're on the right side of history, and we're at the end. It's going well. We got a good, the end of the story is very positive, although it's a little painful getting there, but we know the end, and it's a wonderful story to be part of, and we're inviting every Jewish person and every non-Jewish person to be part of this incredible journey and the drama at the final chapter. That's what we stressed in the film and the book.
And you would know about the final chapter. You're living it in the holy city of Jerusalem. RaphaelShor.com. Rabbi Raphael Shor invites you to his website. Again, it's Raphael with a PH in the middle, Shor.com, S-H-O-R-E, RaphaelShor.com, about the film and the book. The film is entitled Tragic Awakening. The book, which is available on Amazon and available on his website, available everywhere, is entitled Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Jew? Rabbi Shor, I look forward to meeting you in the holy city of Jerusalem. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to be with you.
More coming up. It is a Tuesday morning edition of JM in the AM.